Well, today is a day that we want to congratulate our graduates on accomplishing another milestone in their journey of life, and we trust it will be really just the first in many, many to come. And most of you know that high school can be challenging in many ways. It's challenging as we grow as people, as we mature, and as changes come into our lives. So they made it this far through this step, and it's a great, great for them. And now, at this point in time, there's some big decisions to be made as far as their future goes, where they're going to head, a career path that they're going to choose to make. It could be university, it could be college, it could be a trade school, or right out into the workforce. But we trust that they'll make the right decisions, and God will lead them in the right direction as they make these decisions. We all have goals and ambitions in life, and for the future, and for our grads especially, and maybe you can remember back at this period of time in your life, they may have been asked, and perhaps you have been asked this question at one point in time, and the question was this: so, now what do you want to do? Right? Isn't that true? The grads have probably been asked that question over and over again. Now what do you want to do? Now what do you want to do? I can remember being asked that question different times. Now, I've been to a number of these services over the years where we've honored the grads and ask them the questions, and of course they're just a little bit more interesting with Blair doing them now than they ever were before. But we've been to a number of these events where this question has been asked: what do you want to do? The answers usually range from, well, this is the college I want to go to, I've been accepted at this college and in this career path, and that's awesome. If someone can answer that question, well, I'm going to this college, I'm going to take this course, and I'm going to be this in my future, that's great, that's awesome. Sometimes they answer the question, well, I think I'll just take a year off to decide. I've heard that many times too, so I don't really know what I want to do, and that's a good idea. Don't waste your parents' money. Seen that a lot too. Just go to university for no good reason, but to go to university. So don't waste your parents' money if you don't really know what you really want to do. Or sometimes the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. Well, honesty is a virtue, isn't it? When it comes to that. And then I can remember this one memorable answer that I heard one time. And the question was asked, so what are you going to do now? And the guy answered this. He says, well, I'm just going to bum around Europe and find myself. didn't the guy in the video says, wherever you are, there you are? I don't know, but anyways, that was an answer that was given. He's going to bum around Europe and find himself. Well, that's interesting, but whatever you do, my advice would be this: follow what stirs your heart. I think that's the best advice you can be given as you're choosing a career path, is follow what stirs your heart. I think too many people get, can we use the word stuck? Perhaps sometimes in a position in a job that they really don't like, but they're stuck because of lack of opportunity or lack of education or whatever it might be. But follow what stirs your heart. Last week we had this quote, and I'm going to use this quote again. It says, the best advice for your career is to find out what you like doing best and get someone else to pay for you doing it. That's so true, isn't it? Get someone else to pay you for doing it. And so, what do you want to achieve in life is a question that we might ask here today. What do you want to achieve in your life? I can remember a television commercial, television ad many years ago, and I tried to find it. I tried to find the television ad, but I didn't remember who put the ad out. But the question was asked, so what do you want to do? And this young teenage guy was standing there, goes, well, I want to finish high school, go to college, get married, have 2.3 kids, make middle management, and retire in Florida. And then they said, no, no, what do you want to do right now? And I think it was have a Pepsi or a Coke or something like that. But that was the first thing that came into their mind was their future, their whole life plan kind of laid out like that. One of my favorite little cartoons used to ask this question at the first of the cartoon. So here's this mouse running on a treadmill, and he says to the other mouse, "So, brain, what do you want to do tonight?" "Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try and take over the world." How many have seen that commercial, Pinky and the Brain? Oh, man, the rest of you are missing out. If you haven't seen Pinky and the Brain, great commercial, great little cartoon.
Yeah.
but every day, they would ask the same question. "So, Brain, what do you want to do tonight?" Same thing we do every night. Try and take over the world. Perhaps that's not our goal in life, and it really shouldn't be our goal in life to try to take over the world. But I heard something a while ago that really stuck in my mind, and I want to focus on this today. A young man was going for a job interview, and as he was sitting in the job interview, the interviewer asked him this question, "So what's your goal in life?" And here was his answer. He said, "My goal is to go to heaven and take as many people with me as possible." Good answer. My goal is to go to heaven and take as many people with me as possible. You see, as followers of Jesus, this should be our goal, our aim. Our purpose in life is to go to heaven and take as many people with us as possible. Now, as we're thinking this morning about careers, about jobs, are our jobs important? Absolutely. Our jobs, our careers, what we do for a living is absolutely important. That's how we provide for ourselves, provide for our families. That's how we support missionaries. That's how we support our churches. That's how we support one another, is that we have jobs. They're very, very important. But the question is, are we defined by what we do? Are we defined by our profession, our job, or are we defined by who and what we are? Because I think there's a difference there, or there ought to be a difference. So many times, especially as men, we define ourselves by what we do. So what do you do for a living, right? You're just talking, you meet a guy, and that's usually one of the first questions is asked, isn't it? So what do you do for a living? And so sometimes we identify ourselves by what we do. But really, that shouldn't be the most important identifying factor of our life, what we do, what our profession is, what our job is. The most defining feature of our character ought to be who we are as an individual and as a person. Because I really believe here this morning that we should be, and we can be, excellent at whatever we do vocationally. And I think we ought to always strive to be excellent at whatever it is that we do. Whatever career path we choose, whatever job we're in, we ought to strive to be excellent at whatever we do. But at the same time, we ought to be, and we can be, equally as upright in character and practice while we're doing that job. That's really what is most important. Because you've met people in careers before that you've had to deal with, and you found out that perhaps their character wasn't the best, that they weren't the most ethical in business or whatever. And so that's a more important thing, is not just how excellent we are at our job, but how excellent we are in our character and in our practice in life. There are all kinds of career paths that we can take. There are all kinds of jobs that we can go to in our lives. There are those who heal. There are those who govern. There are those who steer the economy. There are those who teach, those who raise the next generation. There are those who fish, there are those who farm. There are those who build and those who sell. There are those who serve and those who make the widgets and thingamajiggies that are part of our life. But no matter what we do in our life, we're all part of a greater purpose, and that's to be ambassadors to the community that we've been placed in. Whether that's a job community, a workplace community, or a community in which we live. We're to be an ambassador, as the Bible says, we are ambassadors for Christ within those communities that we're placed in. 37 years ago, I was released from high school. And I use the word released because that's kind of what it was. But that's a different story, okay? That's a story for another time. So 37 years ago, I was released from high school. 33 years ago, I actually graduated from Bible school. And as we were at a graduation, or I think it was a graduation banquet from Bible school, we were asked a similar question to this that we're asking today. What do you want to do? It's probably a little more spiritual, right? What do you believe is God's will for your life? And I can remember my classmates, there were 55 of us graduates in my particular class, and each one got up and said, well, I feel led to do this and go here and join this ministry and do this and do that. And I can remember one man in particular, his name is Bill Buell. And Bill actually came to Bible school when he was 65. One of my classmates, he came to school when he was 65. He was a retired truck driver. He came to Bible school. And I remember when it came to Bill's turn, and they said, so what do you want to do? And he made this statement. He said this, my goal is to be faithful to God all my life. He didn't come up with this, like, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this. That was his conclusion. My goal is simply to be faithful to God all of my life. And that always stuck with me because I thought that was a great, great answer and a great ambition in life. As we journey through this earthly life, can we make it our ambition to fulfill this principle? Just to simply be faithful. To go to heaven and take as many people with us as possible. I just want to step down through this just a little bit. In John chapter 3, I'm just going to use some familiar passages this morning. I'm not going to tell you anything new. I'm just going to remind you of some things that we already know. In John chapter 3, we read about a man who had a great concern. He had heard Jesus speak, and he was intrigued by what he said and even the way he spoke. Because he was of the ruling religious class, he came secretly at night to speak to Jesus privately. And I think you know where we're going. John chapter 3, and we read this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And according to the scripture, there's only one way to make it to heaven. It's how? You must be born again. The word must is what kind of a word? Do you remember? It's an imperative. And an imperative is something that is absolutely necessary. And so the scripture lays it out for us very clear. If you want to make it to heaven, you must be born again. Very clear, very simple. It's not our earthly achievements. It's not our charitable deeds. It's not our church membership or our church attendance. It's really what it amounts to. It's a heart transplant by the Spirit of God. And this is a very simple procedure. We acknowledge that we are defective by sin without any human cure. We believe that Jesus secured that cure by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And then we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Savior and Lord. This is a miracle of a moment that lasts for eternity. And so if we want to make it to heaven, we simply must be born again. So if our goal in life is to go to heaven and take as many people with us as possible, that's the first step, and that can be looked after in a moment as we acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge Jesus' love and his death and his resurrection for us. And then we confess him, that we believe and trust in him. So with that looked after, we can move on to the next one, to take as many people with me as possible. Think of this morning. If you had unlimited resources and an opportunity to take all of your closest friends on a trip, where would you go? Unlimited resources and take a trip anywhere you want to go. Where would you go? You and all your friends.
Disney World.
Disney World. Woo. Can I come? Wouldn't that be something if you had that opportunity? Well, I think the most wonderful place that there is not on earth. True? It's a place called heaven. And if we had an opportunity to take all of our closest friends with us, wouldn't we want to take them to heaven? We should. We want to take them to heaven with us. And I think that's so important. Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to heaven, and that when he got there, he would prepare a place for each of his followers, each of his disciples. In John chapter 14, we read these words, very familiar once again, I told you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I would love to be assured this morning that all of you here, all of my family and all of my friends and all of my acquaintances and even my enemies would be there in Jesus' eternal kingdom. That would be my desire, that I would have the assurance that all of you are going to be there in heaven. Now, does that mean that I should walk around all day with a sandwich board on, screaming, repent, repent? Is that what I should do? No. That usually doesn't work very well. They call you names when you do stuff like that. No, that's not a very practical way to go about it. The best way to go about it is to become a faithful follower of Jesus every day, in every situation. And I have found, and perhaps you have found too, that opens the door of opportunity for sharing the gospel with others, as we faithfully follow him, as we faithfully do his will and allow him to lead, and he will open the doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel. If you'd like to be successful in life, we need to work hard. Work hard and play hard, right, Brett? Work hard and play hard. Do both. But be faithful to your heart convictions. Be faithful to your heart convictions and to be content with the outcome. That's so true. And if we want to help others go to heaven, we need to live in that way, in that manner. One more verse that perhaps summarizes this idea is this, Matthew chapter 6. These are familiar verses again. As it gives a little recap, Jesus talking to his disciples here. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, he was talking about food, shelter, and clothing, is what he was talking about. He says, after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, he says, seek as a matter of priority, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, then all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so if there's one piece of advice that we can also give is to seek first, as a matter of priority, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all of these other things that we worry about, all these other things that we're concerned about, He says, will be added to us. C.S. Lewis made this statement, and I think it's a great statement. He said this. He said, aim at heaven, and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you get neither. I think he's so accurate in this. Aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in. All the things that you need, God will provide for you if you seek first his kingdom. He says, but if you aim at earth, only earthly things, only earthly success, only earthly things, he says, you will get neither. So important. And of course, this is all part of God's grace. So what's your goal today? Obviously, I'm not just talking to the grads. Brett would feel pretty bad if I was only preaching at him. We're talking together. And even at this point in life, we can still make this our goal. My goal in life is to, first of all, go to heaven, and then take as many people with me as possible.